Welcome to the Flow Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording. It's 3:23 p.m. and that is Central Time. Today is February 2nd. I apologize for any decay in the quality of the audio last night, and I'm not entirely sure what happened because I did test it again as soon as I started recording today, and it looked fine. But certainly, we've had an interesting day today. So we've had significant follow through on the upside compared to what we had yesterday. And now we are looking at Amazon in the aftermarket down $5, and that's down to about 107. And that's also encountering resistance in the region of the 200-day moving average. That's on the back of earnings that came in better than expected for the core business, but they took a hit from Rivian. And that hit from Rivian was in the order of about 2 billion as a write down. So that obviously wasn't great news. And Rivian is having difficulty making as many vehicles as Amazon needs. But at least the share has stopped going down. And of course, that doesn't mean that it's going to stop indefinitely. But we've definitely had a big move. And this is, I think, pretty much the same everywhere. We've had a very impressive jump in particularly smaller companies over the course of the last 2 weeks. And a couple that I've mentioned in the past are probably worth just using as examples for that. So Unity Software bottomed in November around 20. It's currently around 40. So that's more or less, or at least approaching the region of the upper side of the base formation, but also the 200-day moving average. Silvergate, which is a crypto bank, and their share was up in really quite dynamic fashion in here today, but it's best seen on a log scale chart. But again, we can see here also not quite able to hold all of the move. So when we start stringing some of these together, Dynatrace is an artificial intelligence computer or cloud-based company, and they offer a unique service in terms of using artificial intelligence to find bugs in computer code. So at least they make money, and they've got positive free cash flow, and then positive earnings and operating margins somewhere in the 80s, in the 80% level. So it's not like they can't make money, and definitely there will be opportunities in these kinds of software companies that are making money in an environment which has been exceptionally difficult for cloud. And that's a really quite impressive breakout, and at least it did finish close to the upper side of the candle. But then the bigger question is, what's going to happen with something like Google, where the core business didn't do especially well? Now, the share popped up through the 200-day moving average in here today, and currently sitting around 103 in the after hours, so back below it. Now, when we then think about what's happening in terms of government bonds, well, bond yields did compress and then rebounded towards the end of the day, and still hovering here in the region of the 200-day moving average. So it does beg the question, how much of a rally are we going to get? And certainly the Nasdaq has broken its sequence of lower rally highs. Now, I was kind of reminded of the experience back in 2000. So I thought I'd put up this chart. It's from the Nasdaq in 2000, where we had the peak in about March. And between the peak in March at around 4,800 and the end of the year, the price more than halved. So we've had a pretty similar type of situation for some of these bigger Nasdaq companies. And Meta is a perfect example of that. The share peaked at about 375 and came down to 100. So that's a lot more than 50% on the downside. And then we had this really huge move on the upside this morning. And that was on stronger earnings. So it's definitely broken the downtrend. But that was a huge gap higher. And now the big question is, who's going to buy it next? And how much faith do you have to buy it when the share has more than doubled in the space of 3 months? And then Tesla, also a really big short covering rally. And like I've been saying for the last few weeks, it could easily double. And it did, it doubled. And now it's right in the region of the 200-day moving average and the $200 area. And I think then there's this interesting chart that I saw today, and it looks at their backlog. So the backlog in July was at about 270, or excuse me, 476,000 units, and now we're down to about 107. So there's a good argument that Tesla has caught up with demand. That really does suggest they're under pressure to start building their Cybertruck, or they're going to run out of customers. And that's obviously going to weigh on the company. But we've had these really significant rebounds. And then you have the Federal Reserve talking about a soft landing. So that is a really interesting question. And I thought that the most important thing that Jay Powell had to say yesterday, and I've been sort of ruminating on it for the last 24 hours, but he said on three separate occasions that this is not a normal business cycle. And that means, and the implication is that you can't apply the kinds of tools one would have used in the past. So that's interesting because then if you're not going to apply the rules or the tools you've used in the past, then the yield curve spread shouldn't matter. And it's really inverted. And it then also throws into doubt any conclusion one is willing to draw. So thinking that there's going to be a soft landing is also thinking that you know something that the market doesn't, and you're using some piece of data that no one else has access to. So it might be sort of wishful thinking, but then we have to start thinking about the analog from the 1970s. And there was a big pop on the upside in terms of inflation in the period from about 1972 through to the middle of 1974. And then it came straight back down. And by the time we got down to the lows in 1976, the entire inflationary wave had been unwound. And then inflation went straight back up again. So we're at this interesting juncture where the central bank in the USA is saying that they're going to continue raising rates. And they still think, and he also was quite clear in stating that he's not that worried about financial conditions. So that was a green light for speculators, and it certainly scared the devil out of the shorts, and there was a lot of short covering. So we've seen a lot of short covering in the space of the last month. But they're still raising rates, they're still contracting the size of the balance sheet, and we're in this sort of Goldilocks period where inflationary pressures are starting to moderate. And there is the hope that central banks will soon start cutting interest rates. And if they do that, then it should help to preserve company profits, and we can see a continued rally. Now, of course, if they do start cutting interest rates soon, then when inflation is still this high, well, they will have left their job undone. And then that's going to further increase the potential for inflation to become problematic in future. Now, there is one important point that I think is quite relevant, and I think It was this report posted tomorrow from Horizon Kinetics, but they posted this wonderful chart. So it's the federal interest expense as a percentage of GDP, and it's currently around 4.4%. And because there is so much debt, it has to mature within the next 18 months, that having high interest rates is seriously problematic. So the Federal Reserve absolutely has to get inflation under control. And if they fail, then that's going to be a really difficult environment for government bonds. The duration on the Treasury debt is only at about 5 or 6 years, but half of that debt is going to mature within the next 2 years. So it's hugely front-loaded. Now, we have these inverted yield curves because the bond market basically believes that there is just no way that the Federal Reserve can't get away with cutting interest rates, that they'll have to bring down interest rates in order to contain the borrowing cost issue. But the problem is that if they choose that short-term solution, then it virtually ensures there's going to be a problem with inflation in future because there'll be too much money around. So we're certainly getting more enthusiasm from stock market investors, but it has to be qualified. Now, we're still at a point where stock market investors have the wind at their backs, and short covering can go on for quite a long time. But what I find especially interesting right now is that oil prices remain weak. And we're down another 76 cents in here today. So this is 5 consecutive days on the downside. We're coming back down into the region of $80. But I think it's West Texas Intermediate is by far the most relevant right now because the US government has said that they're going to start buying for the strategic reserve between about 67.50 and 72.50, and we're at $75 right now. And I think that the energy markets are in a show-me mood. They want to see evidence that the Treasury is going to start buying that oil. And of course, it also then begs the question, where's the money going to come from when the USA has already hit its budget limit, or the debt ceiling has already been reached? So where's the money going to come from to go out into the market and buy the oil? Because without that purchase, then in an environment where we have slower global economic growth, then that's obviously going to weigh. Now, because the ECB raised rates today and said they're going to raise rates again, and then the Bank of England raised rates today, said they're going to raise them again, but both of those central banks said that that they admit that inflationary pressures have probably peaked. So investors are pretty much getting the message that they're not going to be raising rates higher than the USA has. And that lent some support to the dollar today, and gold came down by $37. So that's a pretty big move, but more to the point is that it's a downside key reversal. So I sold my leveraged long. I still hold my unleveraged position in gold shares and silver shares, but I sold my leveraged long in gold because we're pretty much in the region of the peak from back in 2000. Oh, excuse me, from back in around the $2,000 level. And this looks like an overbought environment. So a downside Q reversal following a big move on the upside. Well, that suggests that we're going to get at least some consolidation. I'd be more than happy to buy gold back following a pullback, but I'm going to take some money off the table at the present time. The other end of the spectrum, platinum, was in positive territory. in here today and pushed up from the $1,000 level. Now, I don't think platinum is going to do it all on its own, but at least it does have the use case of being a catalyst in hydrogen fuel cells. And that is a new use case for the price, which has been moribund for most of the last decade, and particularly since the diesel cheating scandal erupted. Now, when we think about the wider market, we've had a really substantial pop on the upside from the FTSE 250. So, one thing that the Bank of England are doing is that they're raising rates, but with inflation still at 10.5% in the UK and the base rate from the Bank of England at 4%, they don't have a lot of choice. They have to talk the market down. So Andrew Bailey couldn't sound more dismal than he did in the press conference today. And that is clearly intentional because they're trying to talk the UK market down. Well, obviously, the stock market hasn't got the message, and the FTSE 250 was clearly breaking the sequence of lower rally highs in here today. And the FTSE 100 is right in the region of the all-time peak and was also up in a fairly dynamic manner in here today. Sweden was among the leading advancers in Europe today, and that's following through on the big pop on the upside 3 weeks ago. So this is certainly looking more encouraging, and the Swedish stock market has certainly been also supported by the weakness of the currency, although it has been steadying over the course of the last 2 months. The renminbi was also a little bit steadier in here today, but not holding all of the advance. So we have a deep oversold condition for the dollar, and it now looks like perhaps it's going to be unwound. That is despite the fact that we had a really substantial pop on the upside for the dollar yesterday. It does look like it's being unwound in here today. So there's a bit of an all change moment going on in the currency markets. So with oil prices on the back foot, gold starting to roll over, the ASX 200 in Australia is right in the region of its peaks and it's overbought. So I think that there is scope here that we're going to get some further consolidation in the more resources-oriented portion of the market. And when we think then about the performance of value relative to growth, well, value has had it all its own way for most of the last year, but growth has now come back with a bang. And this has been a very sharp reversal, and now it's in the region of the trend mean. So this is clearly there's potential here that we're going to see a further period of strength for the growthy part of the market if it breaks through this confluence of the two major moving averages. I also think very alert to the fact that we're seeing liquidity events left and right now, and the decline that's happening with Adani Enterprises is really stunning, where the share has basically halved this year, and this year is only a month old. And it just helps to highlight that the kinds of companies that did spectacularly well on the back of access to cheap liquidity are rolling over. And that is also happening for countries. And the Egyptian pound looks like it's going to take another leg lower, that they're going to have to raise rates again. And that is potentially then going to help to put some support under the currency, but it's weakening through 30 in here today. And one of the big issues for Egypt is the sources of liquidity that had been giving them money indefinitely for years are starting to dry up. And countries like Saudi Arabia and the UAE are demanding real changes in the standards of governance. And that is perhaps one of the most momentous events that's happened in the region in decades. And it could have a profound effect on the standards of governance all across northern Africa and across the Middle East. But it's going to come with some pain first. But then we could have a really profound bull market for the region because improving standards of governance can have an absolutely transformational effect on asset prices, particularly in the stock market. So I remain very much of the view that the Middle East is somewhere to pay particular attention to over the course of the unfolding market environment that we have right now. There are going to be long-term investment opportunities that arise as a result of this change in the trajectory of governance. And we're going to have, then there's likely to be a really significant bull market because we're talking about the primary growth area for the global population and hundreds of millions of young people looking for an opportunity to improve their lives enhances productivity. And I think with that, I will leave you for today, and I'll wish all the best to all of you.